Good morning, everyone. You know, I don't know what you saw yesterday. For me, it was a little all over the map there with the Senate Judiciary Committee and Elena Kagan's confirmation hearings.
I just feel like all of the senators sat down and planned out 5 minutes worth of things they were going to fill their time with.
Some of it was contentious. Some of it was humorous.
Right.
If there was a theme, I think it may have been finding a label for Supreme Court nominee Elena Kagan. Is she another Thurgood Marshall? Is she Thurgood Marshall light? Is she not Thurgood Marshall? Is she inexperienced? Is she experienced enough? Or as Republican Senator Jeff Sessions wanted to know, was she a legal progressive?
Senator Sessions, it's absolutely the case that I have served in two Democratic administrations. And I think...
No, but I'm asking, do you agree with the characterization that you are a legal progressive?
Senator Sessions, I honestly don't know what that label means.
Well, she also faced tough questions on gun rights, abortion, whether terrorism suspects must be warned of the right to remain silent, the circumstances surrounding a ban on military recruiters while she was dean of Harvard Law School. Joining us to help analyze Elena Kagan's first day of questioning is Annette Gordon-Reed. We welcome her back once again, professor of law at New York Law School. She's also going to be joining the faculty of Harvard as of Thursday. Congratulations for that, professor.
Thank you.
So did any labels stick yesterday at all, as you could tell?
I don't think so. They tried very, very hard, but she stuck to her guns, and I don't think that they've been able to sort of make her into what they wanted her to be, I think.
So what did she reveal about herself yesterday that you think is of interest as far as the law is concerned?
Well, as far as the law is concerned, I think she revealed herself to be a very smart, very personable, an individual who knows a lot about history. I mean, that was one of the interesting things to me. Not that I'm surprised by that, but I think the country will be interested to know how steep she is in the history of the founding and the Constitution and so forth. And I think she handled herself very, very well with that.
There was a particular irony in one of the questions. I referred to it a moment ago. Republican Jeff Sessions asked her about a circumstance that took place while she was dean of Harvard Law School. She basically was responsible for implementing a ban voted on by the faculty against military recruiters because of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. Here's Jeff Sessions sort of talking about how much this meant to him in his question for Kagan.
But I do believe that the actions you took helped create a climate that was not healthy toward the military on campus, and that you were taking steps to treat them in a second-class way.
Now, he may be right about that, and she, of course, denied it, and there may be some impression that she, you know, feels like the military aren't, first-class citizens. But where does this go legally? What is the legal doctrine at issue with this line of questioning?
Well, I don't see where it goes anywhere legally. It's more, I mean, he sort of framed it in terms of his hurt feelings. It's established now if the schools take the money from the government, they have to let the military on board. And this was something that the faculty voted on. As my understanding is that they were never denied, completely denied access to people who wanted to be in JAG. But this is, as she said, settled law on the question, and she was responding to a very, very complicated situation. So I don't think it advances anything. I think this was more Sessions attempting to make her to go with that branding, make her
right.
Anti-military as a way of hurting her.
And, of course, it's even more symbolic since Don't Ask, Don't Tell appears to be on its way out on many, many levels. This was one of my favorite statements that Elena Kagan made yesterday.
If you confirm me to this position, you'll get Justice Kagan. You won't get Justice Marshall.
Well, and
that's an important thing.
Right at the top, I am no Thurgood Marshall. I was a little surprised that she made that distinction. I mean, you'd want to compare yourself to Thurgood Marshall, but not yesterday, apparently.
No, not yesterday. It was sort of Bash Marshall Day. But her answer, I think, sort of split the difference between expressing her admiration for him and stating a reality. She is not Thurgood Marshall. The times are different, and she's going to be her own woman.
Annette, as I was listening to the questioning, and there was some joking even among some of the senators about the time allotted to them and filling that time, you know, this is something that Elena Kagan herself has written about often, about this empty show of these confirmation hearings, and they're not using them effectively to do what she felt they could be used to do. Did you get the sense that this was an empty show, or that senators were actually weighing her candidacy?
It's hard to say. It's difficult for them. It would be difficult for her to actually get into talking about specific cases and how she would rule in a sort of a gotcha way that would allow them to score any points. But right now it is very much a theater that's going on where they say what they want to say and get it out for their constituents. They've made their point, but it can't go beyond that. I mean, unless something drastic happens with these confirmation hearings, we're not going to get beyond this.
Well, I think there are two points that we can take from excerpts yesterday that really make that point, both in terms of what's settled here and the impetus of the senators, even on the GOP side, to go forward. First, here's Kagan in response to a question from Dianne Feinstein about abortion.
I think that the continuing holdings of the court are that the woman's life and that the woman's health must be protected in any abortion regulation.
Again, stating something that is non-controversial, established precedent, you know, it didn't really go anywhere there. And then this actually was my favorite sort of lighter moment in the hearings from Senator Grassley questioning Elena Kagan and bringing up a paper from before she was in law school, making a very obscure point, and here was her answer.
Senator Grassley, all I can say about that paper is that it's dangerous to write papers about the law before you've spent a day in law school. I would just ask you to recognize that I didn't know a whole lot of law then, and there are I didn't know a whole lot of law then.
You know, if I accept your answer, it's going to spoil a whole 5 minutes I had here.
Annette Gordon-Reed, candor on the part of Elena Kagan, and also candor on the part of Senator Grassley, basically saying, oh, what the heck?
Well, there's nothing you could say to that because it's so true. I'm sure he wouldn't want to be held to the standard of something he wrote when he was that young.
Although even in the tone, it seems he seems to be saying, well, that was what I came up with.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
The best I could do.
So as you listen to her, let's assume for a moment she is confirmed. Where does she fit in the sort of ideological spectrum on this court, do you think, should she be confirmed?
She seems, from what I've been able to see and from what I know of her writings, more of a moderate. I mean, that's which I think is why they're not really rolling out bigger guns against her, because I don't think that they would really be terribly disappointed if she were confirmed.
And she is no Thurgood Marshall. It's almost as though everybody understands that, even though there's a lot of talk.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Annette Gordon-Reed, professor of law at New York Law School, joins the faculty of Harvard Law School. You know, that's a snake pit up there. You going to be all right?
I'm all right. I was there as a student. I know it.
All right, Annette Gordon-Reed. Thanks so much.
Sure. Bye-bye.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.